You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Millie.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, even if we have to do the podcast over again, which is what I'm doing right now. And it sucks because Jay King and I did a podcast hours ago and it didn't record correctly. And now Jay King is unavailable, so I, John Corrales, am going to try to recapture some of what that was by myself. I want to thank all of you who are listening, all of the new listeners. If you're a new listener, it's really awesome that you have decided to add us to your Celtics routine. I know there are a lot of outlets there and a lot of podcasts and a lot of places for you to go, but you've chosen to include us, and that's awesome. So again, I apologize for the technical difficulty that robbed us of a really good podcast with Jay. It sucks. That was actually a really good podcast as opposed to our normal crap, obviously. But that was a good one, and it is now gone, lost to the ether. So I, John Corrales, will be here to talk about why the Celtics may have actually picked up Yabusele's option. They did actually pick up his option, but why did they do that? We'll talk a little bit about Kyrie Irving, and I did a hit on Portland's Big Jab on Wednesday afternoon, so I'm going to include that. That covered a lot of things from the Pistons game. That'll give you kind of a wide-ranging piece of, you know, just a bunch of Celtic stuff, different things that we talked about there. Let's start with some injury news. Jaylen Brown with a mysterious sore right foot injury. He is questionable for the Milwaukee Bucks game Thursday night. TNT game, Celtics versus Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo with the concussion. Now out of the concussion protocol, he is available to play. So as we look ahead to the Bucks game, there is it's going to be tough because obviously Giannis is a handful. He's an MVP candidate for this year for sure. And they've added a bunch of shooting around him, and that those guys are hitting their shots. They're taking and making a bunch of threes. The Bucks are 7-0, and now they are looking to extend that with a win over the Boston Celtics. And I'm sure some tiny measure of revenge after losing in a tough 7-game series last year, I'm sure that the Bucks want to come in and show that they are on par with the Celtics. The Celtics and really the Raptors are viewed as the class of the East, and now the Bucks have come out undefeated to start. And it's important to them, I'm sure, that they send a quick message that they are legit, that they are going to be there at the end, and that they are going to be a serious challenger to the top of the East. So that's going to be a fun game. Jaylen Brown, sore right foot, unclear what that was. In the first podcast that we did with Jay, he was saying that he saw Jaylen walking around after the game. He seemed fine. He looked fine. We'll see if the Celtics hold a morning shoot around. Stay with us on Twitter. Me, I'm at @RedsArmy_John, if you do not know. Jay is at @ByJKing. We will both be at that shoot-around, so if we see Jaylen, if we hear from Jaylen, we'll let you guys know what the injury situation is with him. So that's the setup with Jaylen and his foot and the injury situation. Obviously, Daniel Tice still out. Nothing new on Aaron Baines. He's ready to play. Kyrie Irving had a huge game. We talked about that in the post-game podcast, but Jay King also wrote about that on The Athletic in a piece called "Who is Kyrie Irving going to be for the Celtics? Whoever they need him to be." So, first of all, go subscribe to Jay King and The Athletic. It's very worth your while. Jay does a great job. The Athletic does a great job. I mean, they've poached all of the greatest writers around for their site, and they continue to raise money to continue to hire these people away, and it's just a bunch of really, really great coverage. So in part of the Kyrie piece here, it's really focusing on who Kyrie is for the Celtics this year, his evolution as a player. And the Kyrie that we've always known is a guy who's been a prolific scorer, who has either the best or some of the best handles in the league, and a guy who's just going to go out there and shoot and try to put up 30 points a night. But this year, Kyrie seems to have taken a bit of a step forward, a little bit of an evolution in his game. And some nights that may mean that he does what he did in the first Pistons game over the weekend, and that's take a back seat scoring wise and be more of a distributor. And that's fine. But as Jay King noted in our earlier conversation, and I'm just trying to recapture what Jay said because he made some good points. What Kyrie needs to also remember is that because of his shooting, because of his scoring ability, that does soften things up for everybody else. Kyrie's three-point shooting attempts are down, and he needs to be cognizant of not passing up good three-point attempts as part of what he's trying to figure out. So he is trying to be a distributor. He has a bunch of guys on this team that deserve the ball, that deserve shots, and he's trying to find the proper balance between doing what he can do, like he did against the Pistons on Tuesday night, and dropping 31 points and shooting the lights out, and then being the player that he was on Saturday, where he just penetrated, drew a lot of attention, and facilitated. So there's a balance there. And I think one of the things that we've seen out of the Celtics this year is they have reacted well to mistakes. When things have not gone their way, they have done a good job of looking at what's wrong, and they have done a good job of trying to fix it. So earlier in the year, when those guys weren't passing the ball very well, they came out in a couple of games and overpassed. And then they are now starting to kind of figure out, okay, this is where we are. This is the place where we should be. We're not passing too much. We're trying to get to that sweet spot. And my point is, they have a problem. They see the problem. They recognize the problem. They react accordingly, or overreact even. But it's a reaction to the problem. And then if they overreact, that's fine, because then they can react to that overreaction and dial it back. And that's the sign of a team that's trying to figure it out, that they understand that they made mistakes, and then they try to correct that mistakes. Maybe sometimes they go too far, and then they bring it back. So Kyrie has sacrificed some of his three-point shooting. He shouldn't do that, so he's going to probably go out there and put up too many shots on some nights and then say, okay, I shot two or three too many, and he'll dial it back. And that's going to happen with everybody. There are going to be nights where Tatum continues to do what he does and maybe takes it a step too far. And I think that he's also done that. I mean, he's still doing some of the long twos, but he's dialed that back a little bit. Everybody's trying to figure things out. So Kyrie, in this piece, Jay kind of looks at all of the different things where Kyrie is just trying to figure out his new role. And it is a new role. I do think that Kyrie sees what had happened in Cleveland and the reaction to playing with LeBron and how he didn't like some of it is playing with LeBron. Some of it was the way the teams were constructed and ownership and all of that stuff. But I really do think that he sees that situation. He doesn't want to repeat that. He doesn't want to be to the Celtics what LeBron has been to the Cavs. I don't think, anyway. And he's a pretty self-aware kind of guy, I think. I mean, I know he's kind of out there sometimes, but I think he sees things and is trying to do what's best. And if he sees himself as a certain type of guy and he sees that as some kind of negative, then I think he will try to fix it. So Kyrie is evolving as a player, especially on a team where Tatum and Brown and Horford and Hayward all deserve 15, 16, 17 shots a game. And they're just not 15, 16, 17 shots a game to go around for all those guys. So he has to go out and figure out how to be the best version of himself, to be what's best for this team, and then help this team to a championship. That's his goal. That's the team's goal. So as part of his evolution, he's just trying to discover what he is now. So go read Jay's piece. There's a lot of great stuff there. Some great quotes. I love the quote from Aaron Baines that he just creates so much space for everyone else. He becomes such a target for the defense. Five sets of eyes on him every time he has the ball. Just a testament to what Kyrie can be when he's handling the ball and penetrating. He can be a guy that just draws everybody. He gets to the middle of the lane and five guys all suck in to try and take away what he's trying to do. And then that means four other guys are open. And Kyrie will find the balance between doing that and passing and kicking and getting his assists and then also getting his own baskets and getting to the line. Getting to the line, very important. Drawing fouls, very important. Getting those fouls and getting teams into the penalty, very, very important. If you can go draw fouls and get teams into the penalty, it is really a way of getting your teammates points, because if you alone can account for three fouls in a quarter and they commit two others and now your teammates are going to the line every time there's a foul, well, you've done your part. You're putting points on the board indirectly. If Kyrie Irving can get to the line or get into the middle of the lane and draw two, three fouls in a quarter, and all of a sudden the Celtics are in the penalty for the last 6 minutes, and it's a parade to the line if, by the way, they take advantage of that. But if he can do that and they can do that, then he is, in a roundabout way, assisting on other players' points because he has helped them get to the penalty quicker, and that means some touch foul on Al Horford in the post means two shots and points for him. So very important to find that balance for Kyrie Irving. So go check out Jay's piece there. Before we head out to my hit on the big jab in Portland, Maine, I want to remind everybody that the Locked On Podcast Network has created this awesome Twitter account at LockedOnNBANet, at LockedOnNBANet on Twitter, where it compiles all of us, all of our Twitter feeds from all of us from the Locked On Celtics, everybody. And it's kind of a curated thing where you get all of the quality tweets from all of us on the network. So you have one mega feed of everything that's happening on the NBA. Great content, great reactions, everything. So if you want to stay in the know and keep up with everything that's happening in the NBA, follow Locked On NBA Net on Twitter, at Locked On NBA Net on Twitter. It is it's an awesome compilation of everything. So go check that out. Add that to your mix on Twitter right now, at Locked On NBA Net. Every Wednesday night, I join the Big Jab, usually with Javier Garrido and Chris Adenka. Javier was off trick-or-treating with his kids, so it was just me and Chris today. Starting off with a question about Gordon Hayward. It's kind of funny that I was asked this in this way, so here it is. Check it out.
We're going to talk some Boston Celtics winners last night, and they take on Giannis, who has passed concussion protocol, so Antetokounmpo will play tomorrow night against the Boston Celtics. From Red's Army, he is also from Locked On, a Celtics podcast, and at patreon.com/John Corrales, where he's doing great original content. John Corrales joining us now. What's going on, my friend?
Not much, man. Just actually in the middle of editing a new video for my Patreon.
Oh, nice. So you're dropping the video bombs, too. I love it.
Just a little simple video breaking down how an alley-oop gets thrown to Al Horford and how it's more than just the pick and roll. So
that's
actually dropping as soon as I'm done.
Nice. Very cool. So I'm going to have to ask you the question that I'm sure Javier would have loved to ask because it's what he started with today. He's very concerned about Gordon Hayward, John.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure he is. Why?
And that's how we thought you would answer it. What are you seeing so far from Gordon?
I see progression. Now, last night was actually the first night where he didn't take a noticeable step forward. All throughout the season so far, I've seen Gordon Hayward improve on the last game. And in Detroit, I think it was his best game as far as his athleticism coming back, finding another gear, inviting contact. I'm the content guy. He's the contact guy. And then playing through the contact. And he did a lot of the same stuff in last night's game, but just not that big step forward necessarily. So, I mean, to be worried about him, I don't think so. But I think that he's slowly coming along. And as he said the other day in practice, I'm starting to remember a little bit of who I was. And it's just an indication that there's a mental obstacle. There are physical obstacles. There's a lot of comfort level that he still has to find. And we'll see. We'll see what he ultimately reaches. But I've seen positive progress throughout the entire year. And last night was the first night where it was like, okay, he's just kind of he looked like a role player last night. So we'll see how he progresses.
The team itself, nice win last night, and it was nice to see Kyrie kind of have that first massive Kyrie game of the season. I don't think anyone was truly concerned, and if people were concerned that he wasn't going to be a scorer anymore, it's absolutely nuts to think that, because this is what Kyrie can do. And John, when he gets in that mode, it is just so much fun to watch.
No, when he's hot, when he's going, it's really just something else, especially when he's got those handles going, and you just don't understand how he gets from point A to point B. It looks like he teleports through people sometimes. But when he's cooking, man, it's really fun to watch. And there was a point there when he scored those 3 points in like a minute and 16 seconds or something in the third quarter when he really, really picked it up. You can tell he had a little extra emotion there. And he's an emotional guy. And finding that groove was really important because he hadn't had that groove. And he's trying to play a different role this season. And I think that's part of why he's a little bit slower getting into the type of play that we're used to seeing from Kyrie Irving. Definitely not the knee. There's no real issues with that. But we saw in the first Pistons game over the weekend where he scored 3 points. And it didn't look like he was playing poorly. He was actually playing pretty well. If I didn't see a scoreboard, if I didn't see a box score, I wouldn't have known that he only scored 3 points because I thought he was actually controlling the game pretty nicely. But he is finding himself on a team where there are other guys that really, really deserve the ball and chances to score. That Tatum and Hayward and Horford and Jaylen Brown are all, while he's on the floor with the starters, all deserve to get shots. And when they have open shots, they should take them. And I think he's really trying to find exactly where he fits as a distributor, as a scorer, as the main guy, as a you know, facilitator as well. So there's some adjustment here for Kyrie Irving, but every once in a while he reminds us exactly what Kyrie Irving is and who he is, and it's really fun.
Aaron Baines coming back from injury and clearly on a minutes restriction last night, just playing 12 minutes. But my goodness, John, what a 12 minutes off the bench for him. 5 rebounds in that time and continuing to show that he wants to be an outside scorer as well.
Yeah.
Hits another 3, which I find great. But it's great to see. I mean, we fell in love with this guy last year for the minutes he was going to play either in the starting lineup or coming off the bench. And we're starting to, you know, we've seen it early on. It's nice to see that he's back in this lineup and playing well.
He makes a difference. He really does make a difference. The Celtics play well when he's on the floor. And to have him, I think part of why he only played 12 minutes, he knocked knees with Blake Griffin. So he goes out there, man, and he bangs. And he is fun. He's a guy that you can't not root for this guy. I mean, he's just the big Australian. He's got that big beard. He looks like kind of like if you, you know, jacked up all of Craig Kimbrell's kind of, you know, sliders on some video game. Like, it's just wild that he's out there and doing some of the things that he does. He's a fun guy to root for. The three-point shooting is really fun this year, and you know, he'll go out there and he'll still mix it up down low. And without Daniel Tice, who's out with that torn plantar fascia, it was really important to get him in there and establish some of that pick and roll that the Pistons have had problems defending. They lost him for that three. They lost him down the middle on that pick and roll. And so to have a big bruising guy that knows how to play that and is pretty smart, as well as very fun guy to root for, it's an important little thing to have for the Celtics.
John, speaking of Daniel Tice, with this injury, how do you think it affects this lineup? Who gets some minutes here and there and kind of moving forward? How it sounds like it's not as bad as originally thought, so I guess that's a good sign here for Tice, who unfortunately missed the end of last year.
Yeah, they came out in practice the other day, and they kind of casually said, oh, by the way, Tice has a torn plantar fascia. He's out indefinitely. We're like, what? That sounds pretty serious. But Brad Stevens downplayed it right away. And Tice came out the next day and said, a couple of weeks in the walking boot, and then he'll start running again. So plantar fascia is a weird injury. It seems like in some instances it's almost better to tear it than to have the inflammation there that you deal with on a long-term basis. Lineup-wise, he had struggled to get minutes when Aaron Baines is healthy. And if Baines is going to come back, if he can get up to like 20 minutes, it doesn't really impact the lineup very much. We saw Robert Williams come in and not get a ton of time. Situationally, I think Brad Stevens will throw Williams in and kind of see what he's got, see if he can take advantage of certain matchups. And if he doesn't have it, he'll do what he did last night and pull him after 50-something seconds on the floor. And then they'll go to either Ojale or Yabusele and just try to fill the gap as far as minutes at the five as best they can. They're certainly not going to tax Al Horford. They're not going to play him any more than they have to. Played 30, almost 33 minutes last night, and that's like the high end at this point of the season. So they'll fill in the gaps with those other guys, see what Robert Williams has, and then when Tice comes back, I think he'll kind of slide back into that role.
It's amazing. I don't think a game goes by, though, without us bringing up the fact that Marcus Smart has made a big-time defensive play late in the game. You saw it last night. Ish Smith kind of got a little lazy with the basketballs that got away from him, and who's right there but Marcus Smart to kind of break that all up, and a huge play late. But this is why you have him on the floor late, John. He is just unbelievable, and he's relentless, and a really big reason why the Boston Celtics were so keen on bringing him back.
Right. You know, it's funny to say that a guy who was 0-of-2 from three last night,
yep,
and 3 points all from the line, and one of those threes, I was just like, don't take it that early in the shot clock. But the trade-off is when there's a loose ball on the floor, he is going to completely sell out, and he's going to make sure that he gets it. And if he doesn't get it, it's not for lack of effort. Man, he is putting his body on the line. He just doesn't care. It's all about securing that rock and getting the Celtics the ball back, which he helped do. And that was a key play and a very ugly point. It was kind of a gross, ugly comeback by the Pistons. It was kind of weird, but there's Marcus Smart in the middle of the scrum. If there's a ball out there that nobody is near, Marcus Smart will be the first person on top of it.
It is, and it's great to watch. And it's just, I think it's a symbol of this team, really, John, that you don't need to be a 25-10 guy to be a major factor, and it really is a total team effort. We just saw the Boston Red Sox win a World Series with basically everyone chipping in, and we're seeing a Boston Celtics team that's built very similar, where you're going to have guys on any given night be the hero. And even, like you said, he was 0-for-2 from downtown with 3 points last night.
Great.
But
yeah,
ends up being one of the big factors down the stretch. And it's just so fun to cheer for a team like that, where it's not necessarily just a big three or two guys that are the guys we're talking about every single night.
Well, and the Celtics have used the Red Sox as an example. Brad Stevens, like, once Brock Holt had that cycle, it was the ALCS, and then had a DNP the next game. Brad Stevens loved that. that a guy could come in, not play, then make an historic contribution, and then not play again, and everybody's cool. And that, for Brad Stevens, he made sure to bring that up. And I think that is a great comparison to what this Celtics team is, because they do have a lot of guys that can get worried. Contrast that with the Washington Wizards, who also have a lot of talent and who are now, I believe, 1-6. And their quote a couple of games ago, John Wall and Bradley Beal came out and kind of slammed their teammates and said, "We have people out here worried about where their shots are coming from. They should never worry about that." That's a dysfunctional team that has a ton of talent and star players, and they should be playing like the Celtics, and they're not, because people are worried about the wrong things. The Celtics are, for now, hopefully this lasts, but for now, they are kind of on the same page, and the struggles that they have are just trying to figure out the balance. And like I said before with Kyrie, and it applies to everybody else, there are 5, 6, maybe 7 guys on this team that could go off and be 20-point scorers. And they are, instead of just pulling like a Warriors where they're just taking turns being awesome, they're trying to figure out how they can integrate it all together. So when the ball moves around, the ball will find the right guy. And the right guy is going to score at the right time. There was a great play early in the game. No, it was late in the game. I want to say it was in the second quarter, where the ball moved around a lot. A few guys gave up three-pointers and ended up with Jason Tatum getting a layup. And that was an unselfish way to soften up the defense, and then finally the right guy got the right matchup and found the right lane to go score a basket, a high-percentage basket, a high-efficiency basket. That's what this Celtics team is trying to do. And you're right, it's not just one guy saying, "Okay, my turn, I'm going to go score 30. That's not what Kyrie did last night. Kyrie was doing what the game needed. And if they can continue that, then they will be the type of team that people kind of projected them out to be, because they don't have the same talent that the Warriors do. So if they go face the Warriors, there's no Steph on this team. There's no KD on this team. There may not, you can argue if there's a Klay on this team at this point. But together, if they play well and don't break off, it's almost like the movie 300 where you get the phalanx. If they play together, then their strength is greater than the numbers that are thrown at them. If they go off and play individually, which we've seen, you go off, you know, trying to go one-on-one, what ends up happening is guys stand around and then they have a defensive lapse, and inevitably it leads to a transition basket for the other team. So the lessons are being learned, and the strength is really in the togetherness and the ball movement and doing the right things, and that's how this team's going to be successful.
Well, John, certainly appreciate a few minutes. Really looking forward to what should be a fun game tomorrow night as the Celtics continue on, and we will check in with you next week, buddy.
You got it, man.
And we wrap things up with the Gershon Yabusele option being picked up. The Celtics announced today, Wednesday, that they have picked up the options of Gershon Yabusele and also Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The 31st was the deadline for all three. We knew, obviously, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum would be picked up. Yabu, a little bit of a surprise. And over the course of this week, you've heard us talk about it. And looking at it on the surface, it's a little bit of a surprise because of the tax implications, and he becomes an expensive, when you include the taxes, an expensive guy to kind of take a flyer on. Now, is it partly because they see some value in him and they think that he can be a valuable player? Sure, that's got to be it. If he has no value at all, then they would not actually use that money and keep him around. So there's some of that going on. But as always, the lesson is, if something doesn't make sense, ask yourself, how does this work in a trade for Danny Ainge? And I did, and it does make sense to keep him around as a potential filler piece with a quality, some level of quality young player in a situation that who could go to a situation that could use him and develop him better than the Celtics can. It works. It actually makes sense in that regard. Now, the Celtics have signed Marcus Smart to a very trade-friendly contract. He'll make over $12 million next year. That's the perfect level of contract. and type of player, a young player that could work in a trade for a megastar who may or may not be in action against the Golden State Warriors tonight. But add Yabusele in there into that mix. And I did the math on RedsArmy.com. You just put Marcus Smart, Gershon Yabusele, and Jaylen Brown in a mix, in a trade, and that under salary cap matching rules, because you have to match within 125% plus $100,000, that works in a trade for Anthony Davis. That's the target, right? That's the guy. Even though right now he's not on the market, you never know when he might be. And if he does be, then the Celtics are in a position to throw in young players where they can say, hey, look, this is a guy that we value, but he's just not going to, he just doesn't fit right now for us, but he could fit for you. And at $3 million, that could be palatable. So you have the opportunity to offer two really good young players, one potential all-star in Jaylen Brown, plus a bunch of picks, and that gets a little dicey, but whatever. And now you have yourself some fodder for an Anthony Davis trade. Again, I'm not sitting there saying that that's going to happen. Obviously, I'm not holding out any significant hope of that happening because, look, that's hard to do. It's hard to pull that off. And the Pelicans really have no real incentive to move Anthony Davis unless he comes out after the season and says, that's it, I'm done. Forget it, I'm out, forget it. If he does, then the Celtics are in position, and then keeping Yabu around makes sense. And again, they've probably seen enough of him to feel like they have some promise. This really is only the beginning of his career, and so there is some value. The lesson really is that on top of the trade thing, the tax thing is just not a big concern for this team. They just don't care. They clearly have crunched the numbers. They clearly know how much money they have to spend. And they haven't done the things that I anticipated going into this season or during this season so far. There hasn't been any inclination for them to do some of the things that I thought might happen to alleviate some of the tax burden. They just don't seem to care. And the tax issue that may have cause them to just say, all right, thanks, Yahoo, but no thanks. They just don't seem to care. Or they don't care enough to have that drive any decisions. So that's on me, where I just have to say, all right, if they don't care that much, then I have to stop assuming that these owners care that much about the tax. And until they prove otherwise, I just have to operate under that assumption. That they don't see the impending repeater tax as an issue. They feel comfortable paying that. They will just make their money, and they have a very valuable franchise. And even though they don't own the building, like, that's what allows the Golden State Warriors to pay as much as they pay, because they own the building and they just rake money in, man. They print money. The Celtics are leasing their building, so they don't have the same exact revenue stream as Golden State, but they make enough where they just must feel comfortable with paying those tax dollars and looking forward. And who knows? Obviously, I have my own vision of how things go, but I'm not Danny Ainge, that's for damn sure. And he's got his own vision, and I can only react to the things that he does and try to guess as best I can. But he's got his own plan, and whatever that plan is, they don't seem to care right now too much about future tax payments. So that's it. So Yabu's going to stick around for at least another year unless he gets traded. So you've got that. You've got the thick jacked frame, and you've got velour purple suits with bucket hats after games, which was awesome. So enjoy it while it lasts. Hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Again, I can't begin to tell you how pissed off I am that the podcast with Jay King just didn't record correctly. I'm so angry at that, because it just was a decent podcast, and I feel like you guys want to hear more than just me talking, but I hope you enjoy just me talking for the duration of this, and we'll do our best to try and rectify that mistake and give you some extra content this week. So, if you have enjoyed this and you are a new listener and you haven't subscribed yet, I hope you now find it in your heart to subscribe. Search for Locked On Celtics everywhere podcast exists. We are there. So search for the Locked On Celtics podcast. Also, if you are a subscriber, please give us that 5-star rating and write us a good review. Hope that you really enjoy it enough to take that extra step, because it really helps us out. It really is a huge step for us. And the numbers have been off the charts right now. We continue to rise, and anything you can do to help us continue to rise even further is much appreciated, especially if you share the podcast with your friends and tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.